Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hey, everybody, this is Pastor Mike. Welcome to Look Up, and we are live in studio on Friday, March 1st, 2019, in case you're wondering if this is a rerun.
It's March,
because even reruns say we're live in studio, so we're just going to start clarifying that from now on for you. So, listen, it is March already.
It's March already.
How the time, the clock ticks, you know.
But the weather is different.
I like
it's
the weather.
It's a little bit better today.
Yeah, I hope you're enjoying your sunny, at least if you're listening in Boise, it's sunny and wonderful, and I like the cool weather as well. Not too hot, not too cold. Well, listen, we are going to finish off what we're talking about all this week, 9 ways to have assurance of salvation. We thought it necessary after the 9 ways that the Fire Study Bible that we were using had some real strict kind of pressing. It was tough journey. And so we thought we'd end it on a lighter note and added a 10th about just how people do get saved. We looked at the John 3:16 text. We looked at 2 Corinthians 5:21, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Just the common verses people use to lead others to the Lord. And we just going to finish that up a little bit today and then get into a much more positive topic of I found another article I thought would be good to go through on the air with you, and it was actually on Bible.com, if you've ever heard of that, and it was actually, I think there are 7 ways of how do people, it's actually steps, 7 steps, how do people get saved? And so just because we could have caused a little bit of, I know some people were a little frustrated because we were showing you, not just because, you said a prayer doesn't mean you're saved. People get, you know, go to church and say prayers for all kinds of reasons, and sometimes that's a wrong reason. So we kind of were sorting through all that, but now we're going to look a little bit more positive. So how do you get saved? Remember, I think it was yesterday, I was telling you, one of the things I used to do as a young Christian is I would frequently go through tracts that shared the gospel, gospel tracts. As a young Christian, I would get to the point every now and then where I'd go, how do you get saved again? Because I'm all into Bible study, all into going to church, worship, doing, you know, witnessing and all this stuff. And now I'm going, wait, make sure I'm saved. How do you get? And I had to always review it. And so I kept all my favorite gospel tracts and I'd go through it from time to time. So I hope you don't mind. That's kind of what we're going to do. We're not going to actually go through a bunch of gospel tracts. But I think it's good to just refresh your memory of what is the gospel. How did we get saved? How did I get here? You know, where did I come from and how did I get here? So anyway, we're going to do that today. And I'm going to let Linda take some time to explain to you how you might interact with us. We love to hear from our listeners. I especially love calls, but of course people love to text these days. So people have been mostly texting us on the church phone and using Facebook Live and all that. There's lots of technology available. But my favorite, just so you know, I love to hear your voice. I love to have you call in. Linda, are you ready?
I'm ready. Okay. Yeah, now I stopped coughing.
Yeah, you were kind of choking up over there for a second.
I was. I took this deep breath in and went, and then, okay, so you heard me coughing. Okay, now, some of you are out there saying, well, I'm already saved. I don't need to listen to how do you make sure you're saved or how do you get saved. Oh, yes, you do, because you may be fine, but do you know how to share the gospel with someone? Do you know what steps to take people through? Which scriptures to go to? That's what we're doing right now. So if you don't know you're saved, listen, you may need this for yourself. If you know you're saved and you have full assurance of your salvation, listen, you may need this for someone else so that you can lead someone to the Lord. So you can help someone else have that assurance, okay? So that's one of the reasons we're going through this. We would love to hear from you, okay? And we're hitting the end of a topic and kind of sliding into another one. So even if you have a question about something different, go ahead. You can give us a call. This is a good time. It's not like we're trying to stick on this time schedule to get everything done. But the number here to be live on the radio with us is 208 208-377-3790. Again, that is 208-377-3790. If you can't handle the thought of talking live on the radio, then you could always send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagles phone, 208-891-2635. If you're out there in Facebook Live land, then go ahead and leave a message, leave a comment, and we respond to those appropriately. And we will tell you, Friday always seems to be a lower day. Seems like there aren't as many people listening or watching or anything like that. So if you're out there, let us know you're there, okay? As we walk you through the steps of how to get saved.
Okay.
Good enough?
Yeah. Listen, I'm looking at our notes here, and some of the things, you know, we may just camp a little bit on this phrase by faith, because I'm doing a little search here, and I'm finding some interesting things to talk about before we start this new, just the new topic, which actually this is all in the same vein here, because I'm looking at what I wanted to cover yesterday before the music started was Paul's commission when the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul, and Jesus told Paul what he wanted to do, and it's in Acts 26, and in Acts 26, when Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And that's back in verse 14. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And Paul said, "So I said, who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus who you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will reveal to you." So Jesus is commissioning the apostle right there. He's going, look, you've already seen some things, but I'm going to reveal more to you. You're going to be one of my apostles, and I'm going to send you out. And, you know, this is how you know Paul is someone we should listen to. He wrote most of the New Testament, as a matter of fact, and we should really take heed and read his writings, because this is what Jesus said he was going to do. You're going to be a witness of the things which you've seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. And then Jesus explains the purpose of Paul's commissioning, what I'm going to do with you, what my goal is. He says in Acts 26:17, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you." So, okay. He's clarifying, Paul, I know you're a Jew, you're a Pharisee, of Pharisees, you know, you're a high up-ranking Jew, religious Jew, but I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. I'm delivering you from the Jews and the Gentiles, but the Gentiles are the ones who I'm sending you to. In case you ever wondered, why do they call the Apostle Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles? Well, it's Acts 26:17 is where Jesus clarifies it. You know, come to think of it, there's going to be some good revelations along the way as we go through this text. And then Jesus explains what he's hoping to accomplish through Paul, what his intention is. And it's in verse 18 of Acts 26, because he says, "I'm sending you to the Gentiles," in verse 17. And in verse 18, it says, "to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are," listen to this, "sanctified by faith in me." Now, the word sanctified means set apart for God. I don't know what you think it is. Lots of people misuse that word. But to be sanctified, you know, if you go to a bird sanctuary, it's a place where it's set apart for birds to be safe. Any kind of animal sanctuary, it's a place that's set apart for safety for that particular animal. And to be sanctified in spiritual language, it's to be set apart for God. Now, I love this Acts 26:18, because there's so much packed in here that you know, what the gospel does. Because Jesus is saying he's going to send Paul to preach the gospel. And what does the gospel do? It opens eyes. It says to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. What does the gospel do? When you hear and understand that you're a sinner and Jesus died for your sins and he rose again from the dead, and you understand forgiveness of sins comes through Jesus Christ, it opens your eyes. And then it turns you from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Do you know that all the people who have not trusted in Christ, who are still deceived into thinking that they could either earn their own way to heaven or there is no God, there is no heaven. Everything outside of Christ is under the power of Satan. And so what Jesus is saying to Paul is, man, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. I want you to preach the gospel. You're going to turn them from Satan to God that they may receive forgiveness of sins. So keep in mind, one of the goals of the gospel is forgiveness of sin. Now, something I often emphasize is that Jesus didn't die on the cross just so that you could be forgiven of your sins. Jesus died on the cross to deliver us from sin, from the consequences and the penalty and the power of sin, okay? That means not just so that you could keep living in sin and you're delivered from the consequences of it. No, no, no. Jesus came to change your life so that now that you trust in him, the power of the cross breaks the power of sin in your life, that you don't have to live in sin anymore. He turns believers from sinners to saints. And so I like this. It says that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified in me. Two more things in this verse. I'm sorry. I want to unpack this. There's a lot to unpack here. It says an inheritance. That means we're not there yet. You know, an inheritance, normally the way we use the word is when somebody dies, you could inherit their belonging. When maybe your parents die, you inherit money or their property. Well, because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, those who trust in him, those who become children of God, inherit eternal life. So there's a whole package here. And how does all this happen? I'm glad you asked. He ends this verse, Acts 26:18. He says, an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now, that's why I want to talk a little bit today about the by faith phrase. By faith, I did a quick search, and if you have, you know, that's one of the wonderful things about Bible software nowadays. Whatever your Bible software is, it should be simple enough that you could type in the phrase by faith. And for me, I found that 40 times the phrase by faith shows up in the New King James Bible, and I think it's 37 times in the King James. It just depends on how it's worded, how many times in a verse it's used, so on. But I think as I've looked at it in one of my Bible software programs, there's only a couple times that I thought, well, we don't need to talk about that one because it's talking about not salvation, let's talk about something else. So I want to look, I've actually pulled up a whole list of them. But first, I want to say one more thing. Linda brought up a text yesterday that we didn't get to. And it was actually in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, because it was the importance of kind of a springboard from Romans 10, 9 and 10, that by faith, we're saved by grace through faith. But when you have faith, it shows up in your actions. Real Bible faith should come out in your confession, in your words, in your action. And even Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 10. He said, verse 32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father, who is in heaven. Now, the danger of American Christianity is we make little formulas out of this. You know what I mean? It's like all you have to do is say these magic words. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying those who believe in him will put their trust in him and will not be ashamed of him and will openly confess him publicly before others and not run and hide. Are you a Christian? No, no, not me. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean like some people make it like, okay, look at these words here. So just right now, confess the name of Jesus and you're going to go to heaven. Now, there's something to that, but it can be misused like so many things in Scripture. You can take a verse and you could make it a magic formula. And if you take it out of the context that it's in, okay, you could misuse it. And so Jesus is basically saying here, believe in me, trust in me, and don't be ashamed of me, because if you're ashamed of me before men, I'm going to be ashamed of you. I think he even says that elsewhere, okay? But he says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. So there's something to walking in faith, believing in Jesus, not being embarrassed or ashamed to say the name of Jesus, okay? So that was one I wanted to cover because Linda brought it up and I thought it was worth discussing. Now, I'm doing all the talking here, hon. You got something besides a little tickle in your throat?
No, okay.
Okay. All right. The reason why I thought it would be good to go through this list by faith, and I challenge you to do this. Take out your Bible software, whatever you use, and type in the phrase by faith. Make sure it's a phrase, because if you're looking for verses that have by and faith in it, you might get a whole lot more in some unapplicable verses. But if you look for the phrase by faith, you're going to have some revelation coming to you here. And let me show you an example. One of the first ones that comes up is in Acts 15:9. That we were actually looking at this text where they were looking back at the story of Cornelius there, and the apostles were explaining to the church in Jerusalem, hey guys, this salvation through Christ thing is not just for the Jews. You know, for the longest time, the Jewish religion was kind of exclusive. You could be a proselyte, somebody who comes out of the Gentiles, the non-Jews, and you could become a Jew, but you never could quite come to the status that a Jew who was born a Jew could be. And so this was the first actual battle in the early church where they thought, can non-Jews be saved? Can the Gentiles be saved? And so Peter goes back to report to the church in Jerusalem and tells the whole story of how these Jews who were at the house of Cornelius heard the gospel, they got saved, they received the Holy Spirit. And then it says in verse 9 of Acts 15, and God made no distinction between us and them, and purifying their hearts by faith. And so I like that, purifying their hearts by faith. Folks, it matters so much what you believe. It matters so much if you're trusting in Christ or trusting in yourself, or trusting in your horoscope, or trusting in your church. Don't trust in your church, folks. I tell the people who go to Calvary Chapel Eagle the same thing. Don't trust in me. Don't trust in your church. You know, as a matter of fact, you better double check. Everything I teach you, you better open up your Bible and double check, make sure I'm on target there. That's where cults begin, when they start following the teacher, the prophet, the pope, the leader. They start following this guy, and all their faith and all their trust is in him rather than in Jesus. So don't trust anyone but Jesus. By faith, whenever it says by faith, it's faith in God and faith in Jesus Christ.
You know what? When you were talking about people saying the prayer, and they can say it for the wrong reasons. There's not always the right reasons there. The one thing that it reminded me of was Simon the sorcerer. When the disciples or the apostles were going around, they were praying, and they were laying hands on people, and they received the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 8:18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone of whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I was thinking, you know, this was a sorcerer. He wants to become one of us. And how excited some of the churches today would be over that.
Yeah, if they get a rock star or an actor or...
Yes, yeah, somebody like, oh, this is somebody really out there.
Like, that's going to give credibility to us rather than just because we follow Jesus. He's the one who gives us credibility.
Yeah, you know? And it's like you would think that they would be excited. He wanted, you know, this power within him. But the thing was, he didn't want Jesus. He just wanted the power.
Right.
He wanted to be able to do things. Right. So Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. And some people do think that. They right. think that I give tithes to this church, so, you know, that's it. I have bought my salvation because I gave that church or that organization some money. But in 21, he continues, you have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. What? I mean, this is the whole thing. Pray that be forgiven that you thought you could buy the power of God.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, people, you got to think about this. When we talk about those prayers that are said and they can be false conversions and people get a false confidence. This is what we're talking about. Here's a biblical example of it. And he continues in verse 23, "For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." Well, that's the end of him. We never hear anything else.
Yeah, right.
We don't hear a prayer of repentance. We just hear what people do all the time. Pray for me. That doesn't really happen. They don't want to get their lives right with the Lord. They don't want to serve him. They don't want to live for him. That just pray for me that I don't go to hell, okay? Pray that God will heal me. Oh, I don't want to serve him or anything, but just pray God will heal me, okay? Isn't that your business with God, that you ask him for things and he does it? And I'm asking you to do that, so you're supposed to do that for me, right? Oh, people, this is part of such a great example of the wrong motives, the wrong heart. It could look like it was a good thing, and instead, Peter just exposed, "For you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." This man needed to repent. Then he would have genuinely seen the power of God in his life. You know, right. So that's part of what we want to bring
good.
To you.
Yeah, that's good.
Is, you know, to sometimes to understand, what are you talking about? That, you know, that they said a prayer and it didn't mean anything. Well, here's a good biblical example of someone, you know, who's like, oh, let me have this too. I want this. I want what you have. Okay. I hope you understood what I was trying to say there. So,
well, now you got me curious because I'm typing in my little Bible software, faith and repentance, because that's found a couple times too in the scriptures. And I think it's important to realize that those are kind of like what I've called the Siamese twins of getting saved. You know, the matter of fact, one of the first ones that comes up is Acts 20:21, that one of the things that Paul says he was doing is testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through faith, but faith without repentance isn't Bible faith.
Yeah.
Okay. Faith and repentance. That means, and by the way, here's something we need to clarify too, because some people, particularly the cults, make repentance a big work that you have to work. You have to, you know, in the Middle Ages, they would beat themselves with a whip to show repentance. Or if you really repent, you've got to do this, this, and this. You know, repentance really in the Greek, all repentance, repent means is metaneo. It's a Greek word that means a change of mind. So when repentance and faith are joined, it's like, I changed my mind. I used to think sin was a good thing. I'm going to chase after it. Now I realize that's killing me. I'm going to run from it. I used to hate church, and I've changed my mind. Now I love to get together with the saints and worship God. You know, I used to do this, and now I do that. It's a change of mind, which leads to a change of heart, which leads to a change of action. That's what repentance is. And I'll tell you, folks, if the faith that you claim to have does not have repentance in it, then it's not real faith. And I know that the big argument of the Reformation was faith alone saved. You know, you're saved by grace alone, through Christ alone, faith alone. Well, Martin Luther himself, the great reformer, I think to me, he's the first in line of the great reformers. He says faith alone saves, but saving faith is never alone. I like that. And so what is it accompanied with? Repentance, like Linda's bringing out here. So that's good.
You know, one thing that hits me in this thing with Simon, and this happens so, so often. Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me that I would get saved. And that's why even yesterday we're saying, hey, we want you to pray. You need to pray. Do you know that any prayer we say for you cannot save you? Right. Do you realize that? Our prayers are that the Lord touch you, but salvation and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior has to come from your own heart, your own words, okay? And we find so many people that cop out and they'll want to accept the Lord, right? Like they'll kind of say like, well, yeah, I want to. You pray for me for that. And we'll say, Well, you need to pray from your heart. Oh, I don't know what to say. You pray what's in your heart. Oh, I can't do that. You know, it's a thing of your heart. It's a personal decision that you have to make. Oh, parents, you pray for your kids all the time, but your prayers cannot save them. It is the prayer that they make of repentance to the Lord that will be that saving prayer for them. But we pray for them continually, don't we? And I know we want to stand in that gap, excuse me, and we want to be able to make that all right, and we want to be able to be that one that provides salvation for them, but that comes through Christ alone. And it's each person's individual decision whether they are going to repent and choose to put their faith in Jesus Christ. And, you know, this is another one here. This was the end of the story. We heard no prayer of repentance. We heard nothing else about this man. And I would think that if a sorcerer genuinely repented and became a Christian, we would have heard more about him, don't you?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So this to me is such a sad story because his heart was so wrong. He's seen the power of God, and all he wanted was the power.
Right.
Without God. Right. He just wanted that power.
Right. The story of Simon the sorcerer is what she's discussing here.
And now, that's in Acts 8.
Acts chapter 8. Now, as you were talking, hon, I'm thinking, you know, it really is the focal point of this is relationship with God. And so it's like when you say, when somebody says, Pastor, pray for me that I don't go to hell, that I go to heaven. Well, if you want to start a relationship with God, your pastor can't do that for you. You know, it's like if somebody wants to get married and they love this woman and they want to marry her, you don't say, Pastor, say my vows for me. Make that marriage commitment.
That's
you know,
a good one.
it's like if you want to marry that woman, you make that commitment. You go to the altar and you say the prayer. I mean, you say the vows and you make the pledge and you commit to this woman, you know, because you're beginning, getting saved is beginning a lifelong relationship with God, and it's got to come from your heart. It's got to be you. Nobody could say that prayer for you. Nobody could make that commitment for you. Nobody could get saved for you. Jesus went to the cross for you, but if you want to get saved, you've got to start that. Now, God already initiated. He already did everything to reach out to you. He did everything he's going to do. Now it's up to you to say, yes, Lord. It's up to you, just like in a marriage. You've got to say, I do, okay? Pastor, say I do for me. No, it's up to you to say I do, okay?
Anyway. Would you tell her that I said I do?
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. So Christianity, we used to say this early in the Jesus movement, that Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship. And that's true, and that's really the foundation of it, is it's not just a religion and a belief system, but if you're doing this right, the way it's supposed to be done, then you've begun a relationship with God. And a relationship starts by you talking to the person you're having a relationship with them, they're talking to you, and there's a relationship of love. And that's what Christianity should be founded on. Otherwise, it is just another religion, and there's a lot of dead religions. And if you don't have a relationship with God, you're doing something wrong, okay? Now, by the way, the very second place where the by faith phrase is found in the Bible is the very verse we were talking about earlier in Acts chapter 26, when Jesus said, I'm commissioning Paul, and he's telling Paul, I'm sending you to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, power of Satan to God. And he says, an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So you'll see it over and over again. I'm challenging you to do a little search. I hear the music. I got to stop talking now, okay? We'll be back in about 60 seconds. Take down the number and give us a call. Lord bless. Jesus
does. You're listening to 94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise. Radio you can believe in. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Look Up airs every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2:30 to 3:30. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, you can ask questions on what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. If you'd like to text the Sassos, the number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now, here's Mike and Linda.
Oh, it's funny. I'm reading some of the comments here, and Bobby wrote on Facebook Live, "I always say becoming a Christian is like getting hit by a bus. You can't walk away unchanged." That's kind of funny.
That's how it should be, yeah, though.
I just hope that it's better experience than that for you. And that's another thing. Okay, I could get off here a second. I could see we're not going to start our new topic today.
That's okay. But
that's another thing that really bothers me. When I've heard TV preachers and even some on the radio, there's people who prance around like a peacock and they're preaching the word like they wrote it. And I just think you could always tell somebody who has been exposed to the Holy Spirit, somebody who's really experienced God, it humbles you. You know, like Bobby says, you know, it's like being hit by a bus. You don't just walk away unchanged. When you truly have an encounter with God, I believe you can't have a real encounter with God and walk away proud. You do walk away with a limp, like being hit by the bus, you know, because you realize it's all about Him, not about me. And I thought I was good enough, but I'm not. I thought I could do it, but I can't. I mean, the encounter you have with God in the reality of the gospel, in the reality of Christianity, changes you forever, and it humbles you because it makes you realize that He is God and I need Him. I need a Savior. I hope you've all come to that realization. And if you haven't, by the way, you know, we've told you this yesterday. We'll tell you that today. If you want, I have some questions. You're not sure that you're saved. You want to get saved. But you've got a few things stopping you. Maybe there's something hanging you up and you're confused about things. We want to help you get over that hurdle, okay? What is it that's stopping you from receiving Christ as Savior? What's stopping you from getting saved? What's your hang up? If you want to talk about that, give us a call. It's area code 208-377-3790. We'd love to help you through that, okay? If you think, well, I can't be saved, it's too late for me, that's a lie. That's the devil's most popular lie, is that you're too bad, or you've gone too far, or it's too late for you to get saved, and that's a lie. And if you want to talk about that, you need some help getting over these hurdles, call us. The area code is area code 208, and the number is 377-3790. We'd love to help you through this, okay? Now, let's continue looking through some of these phrases in the scripture by faith, because there's another one in Romans chapter 3. I'm looking in Romans. There's a bunch of them in Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse 27 says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." Now, this whole context of this argument is same thing as in Galatians. Religious people love rules, okay? Religious people love to think that they get to heaven because they belong to this particular church and they keep these particular sets of rules. And, you know, if you read your Bible, you'll find that just blown to pieces, because Paul in Romans and Galatians and several other epistles, here's one. "We conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." And so let's put this in modern vernacular, whatever church you belong to. Paul would say to you, you're justified by faith in Christ apart from the rules and regulations of your church. You get saved by your relationship with Christ, by trusting in Him, by faith, apart from church membership, apart from jumping through the hoops. Boy, I tell you, there are some hoops that some churches set out, everything from dress code to what you can't eat and what you can't drink and what you should do and what you can't shouldn't do. And you know what? There are some things that I won't eat or won't drink, but I tell you what, that's not what makes me saved. What makes me saved is my trust in Christ. So I like that. Romans 3:28. We conclude, and by the way, you should read the first three chapters of Romans, because this is the conclusion, okay? We conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. A little bit further in that chapter, in verse 30, Paul says, "Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith." So again, he's dealing with the problem the early church faced. That remember, the first Christians were Jews, and the early church was mostly Jewish. And they had this hang up thinking that it was just for the Jews. Salvation was just for the Jews. And so the first big challenge for the church was to cross that border, get on the other side of the railroad tracks and realize, wait a minute, Jesus died for all people. You know, we've seen that through the years with people making separation between black and white, between men and women, between all kinds of things. They put these stipulations thinking that there's a boundary between God's, God's grace, that it's only us four and no more. But I tell you, that's a big problem. It was a problem in the early church, and it's a problem to some today. And Paul says, since there's one God who will justify the circumcised, meaning the Jews, by faith, and the uncircumcised, meaning the non-Jews, through faith.
You know, one thing that hits me through this, we make sure that everybody understands that, you know, Jesus didn't come to proselytize and take the Jews away from Judaism, because the first Christians were Jews.
Right.
This was not a new religion.
Right, right.
This was their promised Messiah that they were supposedly looking for. And the big problem that we have is so many of them missed him. So this wasn't just, you know, a new religion coming in trying to steal and change an old religion. It was the fulfillment of what they'd been looking for. I just want to make that clear because it sounded funny.
Right.
The first Christians were Jews. It sounded funny, you know, that we're taking.
Well, that's just the way it landed.
We're taking, can't be Jewish anymore. You got to be Christian. That's not true. They were Jewish Christians.
Yeah. You don't have to become a Jew to become a Christian, but then again, you don't have to stop being a Jew to be a Christian. So it goes both ways there. So listen, this by faith thing, there's another one in Romans 5:1. Now, Romans just keeps going with this, okay? Romans 5:1, Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember a rule of thumb I taught you, I learned it from Chuck Smith, is that whenever you see a therefore in the scriptures, you don't want to just start with that verse. So I'm not going to take you back to the whole context because there's a flow here. But whenever you see a therefore, you got to read before it to find out what it's there for. How about that? That's a good rule of thumb. And so this therefore is an ongoing argument that Paul is making is how people get saved. And it keeps coming down to By faith, just trusting in God. And by the way, here's another side note. I kind of believe, and it's my little theory. I've never heard anybody teach it. If I'm wrong, you can either forgive me or call in and rebuke me. But I believe this is kind of a reversal of what took place in the Garden of Eden. I really believe that what caused man, Adam and Eve, to fall away from God was that by faith, they trusted the devil rather than trusting God. They didn't trust God. God said, you could eat of all the fruit of all the trees in the garden, but don't eat of that one tree, because the day you eat of it, you will die. And Satan comes along and says, did God say that you can't eat of that fruit? That's not true. He's holding out on you. Actually, if you eat of that tree, it's going to be good for you. It's going to open your eyes. You're going to be like God. He spun a whole nother story of fake news there, okay? And so what happened was that Adam and Eve stopped believing God and they started believing the devil. Now, it's just one of the little theories of mine. I believe so. Looking back at that, God chose that the way back to God, man fell away from God was not believing God. The way back to God is start believing God. Isn't that interesting? And so he fell away. Adam and Eve fell away from God by believing the devil and not believing God. And the way back is believe God and put your trust in his son, because Jesus paid the price for that sin, the sin of Adam and Eve, the sin that we've all committed, and he paid the price for sin. So it's now by faith, way back.
And I think that helps explain that we are born with a sin nature.
Right,
because a lot of people have a hard time with that. Well, they sinned. I didn't as a baby. So why do I have a sin nature? But it was passed down.
Okay, well, you opened up another can.
Oh, no, you didn't. What?
No, but here's the thing. I think it's worth explaining.
Okay.
I think it's worth mentioning, because people would say, I'm not a sinner, or how could babies be sinners? Well, you see, the Bible teaches that Adam and Eve sinned, and they fell away from God, and they became they inherited a fallen nature. I don't know if you call it inherited. They then had a fallen nature. And then they had kids who were born with a fallen nature because the fallen nature was passed down to their children. Their kids had kids, their kids had kids, their kids had kids. Keep going until you get you and me. And it's a fallen world. We're all born into a fallen nature. And even babies today, as innocent and pure as you think they are, they're born with a fallen nature. And if you don't think they're born with a fallen nature, have a kid and raise a baby and watch what happens. And they'll learn to bite and scream and pinch and say no and say mine. And no, believe me, we've raised kids and we've had grandkids.
First time you say no to them, you'll see it. You'll see that sin nature.
Kids are born with a fallen nature. We're all born with a fallen nature. So that's something else worth mentioning here. So anyway, in Romans 5:1 that we were just looking at, where it says that having been justified by faith, and by the way, he's writing to Christians. So he's saying this is something that's already happened. Having been, it's a past tense thing. He's not saying keep doing this. You know what? It's a one-time thing. You trust in Christ. You're born again. You've got a new nature now, and you've been justified by faith, and you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, looking at this verse while Linda was talking a moment ago, I thought, I wonder how many times that phrase justified by faith comes up. And I did a quick search and it comes up 4 times in the Bible, twice in Romans, twice in Galatians. Folks, if you're wrestling with this sort of thing, read the book of Romans, read the book of Galatians, and by the time you're finished, you'll have the antidote to your problem here, okay? So let's keep reading. I wanted to find more. Look, it's in the same chapter. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 2 says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of God. I love it, folks, because I tell you what, I've always said, if God made it any harder to get saved, I wouldn't be able to get saved. He made it so easy that all I have to do is hear what he says and believe what he says and trust in him. Now, you could add more to it, because what happens is, if you really trust God, if you really believe in God, you're going to live different. And there's a whole lot more you could add to that. And that's why the whole New Testament was written, because what does it look like if we live by faith? How should I live if I trust God and live by faith? What should I do? What should I not do? Well, read the whole New Testament, okay? And it's all about living by faith. But that's where it starts, folks. How do you get saved? You're justified by faith, Romans 5:1. You have access into his grace by faith, Romans 5:2. And then there's more, Romans 9. And Paul's making a big argument here about, I'm glad I remember the story with this one, because I just go to this verse. And let me read it first, then I'll tell you the backstory. Romans 9:32, Paul says, why? Because they did not seek it by faith, as if it were by works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. And so the backstory of this is he's talking about how come the Jews aren't getting saved? How come more Jews aren't coming to Christ? And he says that they're not entering in because they're not coming by faith. They're coming by works of the law. Matter of fact, let me go to that verse, a little context. Romans 9:30 says, what shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. And so he's telling the whole story here. If it's kind of like religious people try to get righteous by keeping all the religious rules. But God says, that's not how I planned it. My plan is that you get righteous by trusting me, and I'll give you my righteousness. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I've told you that over and over again. And so Paul says, what should we say then? That the Gentiles, those non-religious Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness, they've attained righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Now, follow me with this, because this is an important point to those of you who have been very religious, raised in a religious home. Maybe you belong to a cult, and you, every now and then You don't tell your cult, but you listen to Christian radio, you know? And the thing is, Paul is saying that the Jews did it wrong, like so many cults today. They tried to pursue a law of righteousness, and they fell short because that's not God's plan of how you get righteous, keeping rules and keeping laws and doing everything right and never doing anything wrong. Nobody makes it that way. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We'll all continue to fall short. And the only way to get right with God, 2 Corinthians 5:21, is to trust in God, and he gives you his righteousness because of what Christ did on the cross for you. Boy, that's the shortest explanation I've ever given for 2 Corinthians 5:21. Okay, now, it goes on to say, but Israel pursued the law of righteousness. They have not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Now, this is a big problem with religion. Religion makes people think that if I just keep all the rules, and if I belong to this particular church, and if I got to listen to 94.1 all the time, whatever your rule is, whatever you think it's going to take to get saved, it's something you do. No, it's none of that. It's all about Jesus. It's about you trusting in Christ, because over and over again, we'll see in the scriptures examples of how people didn't make it in because they were trying to be religious instead. You know, that's one of the saddest things in the world, folks, is people who so badly want to go to heaven. People are so darn religious, and they're keeping all the rules, and they're trying so hard, and they don't eat those kinds of foods, and they don't do this, and they don't do that, and they go to church every Sunday, but they're doing it thinking that that's what makes them right with God. It's a sad, sad story, folks, because can I tell you, I think God wants to take a big load off of some of your shoulders right now. He wants you to know that he did it all for you. He did it all at the cross. He paid the price for your sins, and he offers you his righteousness by faith. It's all by faith. Do your own study. Do a study on the phrase by faith through the scriptures, and you'll have a revelation after revelation, okay? So Paul says that the Jews, as religious as they were, as much rules as they had, even following the law of Moses. By the way, the law of Moses was a law given by God, okay? You can't say, well, they're making man-made rules. They're not keeping God's. No, the law of Moses was the law of God, right? And so what Paul said was they didn't attain righteousness because they didn't seek righteousness by faith. Instead, they sought righteousness, as it were, by the works of the law. That's Romans 9. Verse 32. Now, the next instance of by faith, I hope you'll bear with me because this is a fascinating study that I just kind of stumbled across while we're here in the studio doing a quick search by faith. And I'm going, ooh, this is good stuff. We got to look at these verses. Romans chapter 11, verse 20, he's talking to how the Gentiles would talk about those Jews. They didn't enter in. They were branches broken off, and we were grafted in. As a matter of fact, the verse before, Romans 11:19 says, you will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. And Paul says to the Gentiles, well said, but because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For God did not spare the natural branches. He will not spare you either. And so I'm going to stop there because there's a whole nother controversy we get into. But I want to let you know, Paul is saying to the Gentiles, you're right. The Jews were broken off because they're trying to earn their own righteousness. And you stand by faith. So stand by faith. Okay? It's good stuff here. Let's see. When's the next place it's found? By faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but our fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. There's another great phrase, by faith you stand. You want to know how you keep in good standing with God? By faith. I know some people make a big deal and go, you don't get saved by doing good works, and you don't maintain salvation by doing good works. You're right. You got saved by trusting Christ for salvation, by grace, through faith. You stay in good relationship with him just by continuing to trust him. Okay, we talked about this earlier this week when we were explaining the abiding principle of how do you abide in Christ? How do you remain in there? It's not a work. It's just the way you got there is trusting him by faith. The next one, now we're going into Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 16. Now, I know, hon, you've always got good things to say, so I don't want to just keep yapping here if you've got something to add to this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. And remember, Galatians is one of those books that was written also to refute the lie that you're saved by keeping the law, by keeping the rules, by doing all the things that religious people do. And all of the book of Galatians was pretty much written to refute that, to say, no, we're saved by trusting Christ, not by keeping the works of the law. And so in Galatians 2:16, one of my favorite verses, Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the phrase by faith is found twice in this verse. So I'm going to read it and take some time and unpack it for you. But this is a good verse. Matter of fact, if you're looking for a good memory verse on this, you might want to write down Galatians 2:16 and find it in your favorite translation and memorize it and meditate on it. It is good stuff. You know what? This stuff takes a load off of my chest. It takes load off my shoulders because I was raised in a religious home and I was taught a lot about got to be good enough. And you know, it was a lot of trip put on me. And once I started reading my Bible, it made all the difference in the world. Once I started reading my Bible, I'm going, what? It's that easy? You mean Jesus does it all and I just trust him? I know some of you religious people go, it's not that easy. Just read these verses I'm giving you and read them in context. Again, Galatians 2:16, Paul said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Isn't that powerful? That's a powerful thought here. And I hope you see now why I wanted to take this detour and take some time and unpack these verses that contain the phrase by faith. Because over and over again, the scriptures in the New Testament tell us that we're saved by grace through faith. What role does faith have? How important is faith? What exactly do we have to believe? We have to believe God. We have to believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's good stuff. All right, now there's a bunch in Galatians. And looking at the clock, I can tell you right now, we're not going to finish the ones in Galatians. We might just wrap it up here and start a new topic next week. Or I'll talk it over with Linda. We might want to just keep going. We'll see. Galatians 2:20, this was a song back in the early 60s in the Jesus movement. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm quoting from the King James, but reading it in the New King James. So I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Another great memory verse. How does a Christian live? How should a Christian think? It's by faith in Jesus Christ who loves me and gave himself for me. I like that. And again, Galatians 3:8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Now, there's a whole other story there. I'm going to save us some time. You could go back and read it if you want. But what Paul is saying is that the gospel is not something new. It's not something that we just invented, like Linda said earlier. It's not a new religion. Abraham was justified by faith. And you could read all about it in Galatians and Romans and other parts of the scripture that Abraham believed God and he was reckoned righteous before God. Okay, he was justified by faith. And so that was a picture of what the gospel was going to be when Jesus would come. Okay, so Galatians 3:11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. I tell you, folks, it just can't get any simpler than that. And I love it because it's so simple. Again, God showed me mercy, because if he made it hard that there were hoops I had to jump through, I'd probably blow it and I'd fail. But it says, the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Again, I'm going to move quicker here because our time is ticking. Galatians 3:24. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, the whole argument here is at the end of Galatians, or this is actually the middle of the Galatians, he's saying, look, let me tell you why the law was given. The law was given so that you could keep trying to keep it and keep failing, and that you could see, you know what? I learned my lesson there. The law was a tutor and showed me I'm a sinner. The best thing that the law teaches you is that you're a sinner. And so what Galatians 3:24 says is the law was our tutor, what, to teach us how to be righteous? No, to bring us to Christ. I'm reading right from the verse. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. Listen to this. I'm not finished yet. That we might be justified by faith. I love it. I love it. Don't you love it? It's like, wait a minute. The law was to teach us how to be righteous so we could keep all the rules and jump through all the hoops. No. Paul explains in Galatians that all the law was given for was to teach us that we're sinners, and it was a tutor to show us that we need Jesus and that we could be justified by faith. Okay, folks, I think we might just stop here. I'll have to look at what's left on the list here. But remember, this is Friday. Go to church this weekend. If you're looking for a good church, you're welcome to join us at Calvary Chapel of Eagle. Go to CalvaryChapelEagle.com or CCEagle.com. Out of time. Lord bless. Thanks for listening.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at CCEagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus. Look forward.